this picture of a body that has multiple parts. And the first thing to understand as a widow or as an orphan, the first thing to understand is that you have a significant place in the church of Jesus Christ. The body is made up of many members. And each one of those members is a crucial part of the body. And so as part of the body of Christ, you are a crucial part of the body. It's easy to feel, if you're an orphan or a widow, that you're separate from the body. That because you need help, that you're not part of the body. But God actually says the opposite. He says that the weaker parts of the body that they're important parts of the body. Like in 1 Corinthians 12:22. Let me start in 21.
Okay.
First Corinthians 12:21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. No, much rather. Paul is stressing the importance of the idea that the weaker parts are necessary. Those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Widows are an important part of the church of Jesus Christ. Orphans are an important part of the body of Jesus Christ. This is a crucial thing to understand. In America, what has happened is the government takes care of widows and orphans. And that has damaged the church in America. As a church, for years we prayed for the ability to help widows and orphans. Because God says they're necessary for the body. And one of the reasons I'm here today is because God answered that prayer. Because in Nigeria, the church can help widows and orphans. So I started coming over here because we were providing artificial limbs for widows and orphans. God answered our prayer because we needed the weaker parts of the body. That in the United States, the government had split off from the church. And the church needs the weaker parts of the body. Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. God is, or Paul, Jesus, the Holy Spirit through Paul is using the example of a body. And ever since the fall, there's been certain parts of the body that are to be covered. Right around the waist is to be covered. And Paul is saying there's a reason for this. The reason that they're to be covered is to give them honor. And he's drawing that as a picture in the church. The people who are suffering, the people who are in need. They don't stand in front, they don't have prominent roles. But they're a necessary part. Because it's necessary for the church to care for widows and orphans. And not just widows and orphans, but any of the weaker parts of the body. It's the mercy of God that He allows the church to minister to those in need. And it can be hard. It can be hard to go and admit that you have need. But one of the most key parts of the role of widows and orphans in the church is to admit your need so that the church can show the love of Christ. God puts widows and orphans in the church so that those who have greater resources can help those who have less. It's the picture of the unpresentable parts, those parts that we cover. are just as important as the mouth and the eyes and the ears and the face. The body needs every single part. Be the part of the body that God has called you to be. It's crucial for the health of the church. As Paul said in verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If you are suffering, if you have needs, you have a responsibility to take it to the church. Because as the body, when one part suffers, the rest suffers. And when the church fails to care for the widow and orphan in their distress, the church should understand how God looks on that. James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. To visit widows and orphans in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. When you're in distress, when you have needs, and this doesn't mean that you want things that you can't have, but when you have real needs, let others practice pure religion. Let others help you. One of your key roles is to make your needs known to the church. And sometimes the church won't help you. They won't have the resources, or they're neglecting their duty. But it's still your duty to make your distress known. And there's great promises that God makes to widows and orphans. Deuteronomy 10:18. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow. And loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. God blesses widows and orphans. The way the world is ordered is that blessing should come through the church. But God is just whether the church is, even if the church is not. Psalm 68:5. Right. This is a description of God. Well, let's start with 4. Sing to God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds. By His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him. And then he explains why you're to do this, why you're supposed to sing praises to his name. Because he's the father of the fatherless. He's the defender of widows. And God is in his holy habitation. He is ruling in heaven and earth. And he cares for widows and orphans. And that's why he commands the church to care for widows and orphans. But widows and orphans have responsibilities as well. Not the same responsibilities as, well, actually, the same responsibilities as other people. You still have a responsibility to be faithful to God. To trust in God. To have faith in God. But the church has a responsibility to help all widows and orphans. All strangers, all that are suffering. But that doesn't change your responsibility to the Church of Jesus Christ. You may not have the naira to give, but you have your prayers to give. You may not have the naira to give, but you have your voice to break in song in the praise of God. Make sure you're faithful in what God has given you. And the Church of Jesus Christ is commanded to honor faithful widows in a certain way. First Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5, starting in verse 3. Honor widows who are really widows. And Paul's going to explain what he means by really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, God does not want the church to undermine the family. And this doesn't mean that you have small children. Paul's not talking about the case where you have small children. But he's talking about the case where you have grown children. The children have the first duty to care for the widow. It says, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. The church can sin against a young man or a young woman. The church can sin against a young man or a young woman. Whose mother is a widow. By providing for her so her children don't feel the weight of the responsibility. It can be a way that the church teaches young men and young women to be godless. Now there's some who have never been part of the faith or have left the faith. And then the church should help the widow. But if she has grown children, it is their duty first to take care of their mother. Or their grandmother. It's a way that they repay the parents. But it continues in verse 5. Now she who is really a widow and left alone. Verse 5. Trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. A widow has a greater understanding of her dependency upon God. It's easy to depend upon your own strength. But as your strength fails you as you get older, and your husband passes away, the easier it is to understand your dependency upon God. One of the roles of widows in the church is those who can pray with a greater fervency. That has an understanding of her reliance and her need for God to care for her and provide for her. But then it does give a warning in verse 6. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Part of losing your husband is a test of your faith. Whether it is real or whether it is false. If it's real, it causes you, the death of your husband causes you to turn to God. If it causes you to turn to pleasure rather than to prayer, it's a sign that you're not saved. When God puts tragedy in our life, it tests us. It's a check to see, are we truly standing on the rock of Christ? Are we standing on our own understanding? Are we standing on what we desire? When tragedy comes into our life, the death of a father, the death of a husband, it forces us to say, who do we trust? And then it goes on to say that certain widows should not have to provide for themselves anymore. In verse 9, it says, do not let a woman under 60 years old be taken into the number. And not unless she has been the wife of one man. That number there is the widows who are counted as those who will be supported and provided for by the church. She has to be well, verse 11 or 10, she has to be well reported for good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work, verse 11, but refuse the younger widows. For when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry. Having condemnation because they cast off their first faith. In verse 13, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. But also, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies. Saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry. So God is really clear, if you're of a certain age, and you've been faithful in the duties that God has given you to do. The church is to be faithful to you by providing for your needs. But if you have not been faithful, if you have not been diligent in raising your children, if you haven't shown hospitality to strangers, if you don't care for the needs of the church before your widow, if you didn't care for those who were suffering, then God says the church isn't supposed to take care of all your needs. You're supposed to still go and do work because you failed to do the work you were supposed to do. Your widows, warn the women who aren't widows. Your widows, warn the women who aren't widows. I don't know if it's true in Nigeria, but something like 80% of wives end up being widows. The husbands tend to be older than the wife. The husband, when they get married, the husband tends to be older than the wife. And without the wars, women tend to live longer than men. So most women end up being widows. And so warn the younger wives. To be diligent in their work for God. So they have a valid claim on the church. When you think of the responsibility that God gives to women in Titus 2, He gives women, older women, the responsibility to teach younger women. As older women, those of you that are older women, make sure you teach this to the younger women. That what you sow, you will also reap. That is how God ordered the world. And this is also why sons and daughters frequently won't care for their parents. It's sin, but a lot of times they don't think they have a debt to repay. Because they don't see their mother sacrificing for them. Warn the wives. But I also want to go to another example in Acts 9. Acts 9 is a story where Peter goes to Joppa. And he goes there because a woman dies. And we don't know for sure that she's a widow, but the description of her sounds like a widow. We hear nothing about her family. We hear the whole city mourning, but we don't hear anything about her family. Her husband or brothers or her children don't go to get Peter. Just the church sends for Peter. I think the description of a widow who is truly a widow. And I want to read the description of her in verse 39. Acts 9, verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping. Showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made. While she was with them. Dorcas didn't go, "I have lost my husband." Dorcas didn't say, "I have lost my husband. My husband died." So therefore I have no more responsibility. She's held up in Acts as one of the great women of Scripture. Because even in her distress, even in her difficulty, her mind was on serving others. She may not have had a lot of money to give, but she had her labor to give. So she cared for widows in their distress. Just because you're a widow, it doesn't mean that there isn't great service for God that you can do. It says in verse 36 that Dorcas was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Sorry, the end of the verse. Okay. Verse 36. God has still given you hands to labor with. God has still given you, not all of you, but has given some of you the ability to be a blessing to others. Every Christian widow should be a blessing to others through prayer. But a lot can do more than that. A lot can still use their labor to glorify God. Just like before your husband died, you could minister to your husband. Now you can still minister to your husband. Because God says he is the husband to the widow. And especially older orphans. You used to be able to minister to your father. And you can still minister to your father. Because God says he is the father to the fatherless. Just because you're a part of the body that has greater needs. It doesn't mean that there aren't other ways for you to serve the body. The whole basis of the Christian life is die to yourself, is to die to yourself and live for Christ. That's what every part of the body is to do. I might be the part of the body that's the mouth. So I come in places and I speak. I declare what God has said. But I'm not worthy of any more honor than you are. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, the weaker parts of the body have greater honor than the visible parts of the body. So, but make sure you act as part of the body. Die to yourself and live for Christ. Because that is what it means to be a Christian. Let me close this in prayer and then we'll take a time of question and answer. Oh Lord God, I thank you that you have brought these widows and orphans here this morning. How the church can show your mercy and your grace by being faithful to these women and children. You have given them the opportunity. I pray that you convict your church in Miango to be faithful to them. Lord, I pray that you're close to them. As a father is to a child. Because you are the father to the fatherless. And I pray that you're close to the widows. Like a husband is. Because you are the husband to the widows. We pray that each person here gets a greater view of who you are. That each of us here has a greater understanding of your holiness and your mercy. And your love, your care for the widows and orphans. Lord, pour out your blessing upon them. And for those who do not know your Son, those who have not looked to Jesus Christ to be saved, Reveal yourself to them so that they flee to you. Lord, we pray that you glorify your name through these people here. For they are a crucial, a necessary part of the body. Lord, we do pray your blessing upon them. Amen. Questions? True Christians visit widows and orphans in their distress. That is, if you look at Matthew 25, Matthew 25 says, when God comes and separates the sheep from the goats, He will do this based on those who saw somebody in need food, drink, clothing, that those who are His will feed them, give them drink, give them clothing, give them housing. And we'll visit them. It's a rebuke on your local church. Because faithful Christians came and visited you. And those who had the greatest duty, they failed to fulfill their responsibility before Christ. That should be a true warning to them whether they have true religion. Because pure religion before God and man is to help the widow and orphan in their distress. May the church hear God's rebuke.
Okay.
Does her husband's family, do they claim to be Christians? Because the duty of the church is to step in that case. One of the things that I'm going to talk about this afternoon is about doing member care well with the elders. And one of the most basic things that the church can do for its members is to be just. The right place to appeal what's happening is to her husband's brother's church, where he goes. Because to steal from a widow is a serious offense in the eyes of God. It's a mercy to them to warn them of the wrath of God. Because God says what He does to those who abuse widows. So my suggestion would be to appeal to her husband's brother's church. And pray to God that they're faithful to Him. I'm sure.
Question is, she's a widow. She's not up to 60. And her own mother is also a widow. And she's the one taking care of her mother. So, at that stage, does she need the help from the church?
I think the short answer is, the church should be evaluating your situation. That was a really long translation. What did you just say? God has given us principles in His Word, such as the 60 years and older, and such as that if you have children, they should be taking care of the widow. But God has also put real authorities in charge of the church. He's given elders and pastors so that they can look at complicated situations like yours. Always understanding that God demands that you do justice for widows. And saying, this particular situation, what's the right thing to do?
Our question is, not up to 60, and she has a desire to remarry. But when the person, her suitor, comes, probably he too is a widower. His wife died and he has children, and she has children. So because of the load of the children on both sides, the person may decide not to marry her anymore. But she desires to marry. That what she, and now nobody is, she's not strong to cater for the children. That's why she wants to marry. But the person is not willing to marry her because he has children to take care of. That what should the church do about that?
There's a few things there. One is that the church, I mean, Paul is explicit in 2 Timothy. Paul is explicit in, excuse me, 1 Timothy.
Okay.
That younger widows should marry. And he is writing this to Timothy as the leader of a church. So the church actually has a duty to help widows find husbands. And including the situation where the man is saying, I'm not sure I'll be able to provide for this number of children. If the church is helping the widow, the church can also help the family until it's established. God gave the command to the church to help widows get married. And part of that is just encouraging the man to have faith. Because God says that He gives us our daily bread. So if we're faithful to do what God would have us to do, He promises we'll get what we need.
There is a widow whom somebody is meeting her needs, is helping her. They are not married. The person is helping her. But each time they call for widows, she will attend. That is that right.
1 Timothy 5, it talks about a woman who's chasing after a man. That she's not to be helped by the church.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
They have a fellowship for widows because they have a large number of widows in that church. So they have a widow fellowship to encourage each other.
Yes.
But that some of the younger widows will not want to associate with them. That's the older widows in that widow fellowship. But each time the help comes for the widows, the younger widows want to share the help for the widows, but they don't feel like it.
A lot of these questions get into details and make them hard to answer.
You can translate that.
What's clear from Scripture is not so much that you cut out the younger widows from support because they don't fellowship. But it is clear that you help widows. You don't help all the widows the same. A widow who's over 60 that doesn't have children and who is faithful in the faith. She should have all the support she needs. And then support goes to other widows as their needs are seen. But the cutting off of the younger widows is because they're chasing after men. Or they're using it to be idle so that they can be gossips and busybodies. So we shouldn't say we've got 50 widows and we have 500 or 5,000 naira, so we'll give 100 naira to each. Did you finish the thought? Okay. Should we go to the next question?
Sorry.
No, the...
Mama? I want some courage, yes.
The marriage between a man and a woman. is a picture of Christ in the church. It's a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good to have that picture if you're 70 or if you're 20. The obligation of the church doesn't mean that you can't marry. Because God said, this is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Marriage is honorable.
Struggling to raise them, they the widow don't have anything to do. She's not old, but she has the responsibility is wide. So what can they do?
I mean, one thing that the church has to remember, one thing that the church, the broader church, has to remember. Is that we're members of one another. And as one of the pastors said before, is that we need to talk about this among the elders. Because especially boys, they need a man to help raise them. And what this means is that the church needs to recognize that each part of the body needs other parts of the body. other families should be helping a family of a widow with 8 children. Not necessarily with sending them to school, because it's a lack of constraint that caused them to go to drugs, not a lack of education. But it can be very hard for a mother to discipline a 12-year-old boy. And the other men in the church need to come alongside and help the widow, because we're members of one body. And a key duty of pastors is to be teaching their flock their obligation to one another. And especially to widows and the fatherless. And God judges the church on how it deals with the fatherless. So the solution is for the church to act like the church. Okay.
A woman who is a widow,
right,
knows that her colleague or her fellow woman is married, but the husband of the married woman will comment to the widow, and she, the widow, will accept him, her husband, to approach her.
Right.
She's not against what the younger women are doing to the church, other men who are married.
You said she is against it, right?
Well,
did you say she wasn't against it, or she was against it?
Why younger widows will agree to married men coming to them.
Right. I mean, one of the basic problems is a church that won't do discipline on its members. A church that won't do discipline on its members. The Bible's very clear. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, that adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. That widow and the man are not Christians, and they must be put out of the church. That's what stops the problem. If the church closes its eyes to it, it just gets worse. When it's accepted in the church, there'll be more adultery and fornication in the culture. The solution to the problem is the church acting like the church. And putting out those who are not part of the church.
It's time for lunch.
Okay. 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 Okay.
Since you want to come back and meet them, probably have the word. Because they will meet after.
Right, right. Yes. My main encouragement to you is that God has a role for widows. God has a role for orphans. Your role is to allow the church to demonstrate what love means. It can be hard to have that duty when the church is weak. It can mean that there's suffering and there's difficulties. But trust that God has a purpose for it. And you have a real role in the healing and the strengthening of the church. For when the widows and orphans are not cared for by the church, it is a real rebuke to the church. And it's by rebuke that conviction and repentance comes. So my encouragement is to persevere. Because God is the husband to the widow. And He is the father to the fatherless. And God rules in the world. And His will be done. Praise God.